How many of you have ever done the hokey pokey? All right, most of us have. You put your right arm in, you put your right arm out, right? And then you go through all the body parts, and it's this active and kind of tiring song the older you get, right? But it ends with the command, put your whole self in. And so when I think of that song and dance, I'm reminded of another instruction. This one from the Bible. It's from the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. Now, Paul devotes the first 11 chapters of Romans to some heavy-duty theology. But in chapter 12, Paul transitions from doctrine to duty, from creed to conduct, from belief to behavior. And he says, in light of what God has done for us, what he's talked about in the first 11 chapters, here's all the mercy that God has shown us, here is how we should live. And so if you were looking for a thesis statement for the book of Romans, it would be this: beliefs should impact behavior. And he's saying, I'm not talking about having theology, I'm talking about having walkology. You walk the walk. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. If you have your Bible or Bible app, turn with me to Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says this: therefore, I encourage you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will be, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So in response to God's mercy, Paul challenges us here to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Well, the first thing I want you to notice is this. He doesn't say surrender or yield. Those are both terms that are used in the Bible. He says offer them. And why is that significant? Well, if I have a gift and I surrender it to you or I yield it to you, that doesn't have the same connotation as if I offer it to you, right? It's more meaningful when a gift is offered, not surrendered. And so he is saying, offer to God your body as a living sacrifice. Now, the expression living sacrifice here is set against an Old Testament backdrop of sacrifices. And in the Old Testament, people offered as a form of worship animals as sacrifices. But in the New Testament, worshipers are to offer themselves, not dead sacrifices of animals, but living sacrifices of self. And so what Paul is saying here is to offer your whole person, your whole being, the all of who you are, your body, your entire life. And just as the people of Israel had offered animal sacrifices to the priest, what he's telling us is that we are to present our lives to God as living sacrifices. And to do that, we cannot conform to what this world tells us to do. We can't just go with the flow and do what the world says is significant. I mean, you know what kind of fish go with the flow in water? Dead fish. Right? And so he's saying, if you conform to this world, if you just go with the flow, there is a spiritual death in that. Now, what does it mean to be a living sacrifice? Well, it costs us something, namely our control of our life. Now, most of us understand the idea of giving an offering of money or time or service, but how well do you do at offering your life to Christ? Are you putting your whole self in, like the song The Hokey Pokey says, not just when it's easy or when it's comfortable or when it's convenient? Are you being a living sacrifice and you're trusting God enough to essentially sign your name to the bottom of a blank page and say, okay, God, you fill out this page as you will, and I'm agreeing to it. As you see fit, this is how I'm going to live my life. And so what does it look like? Well, it's different for each of us, and sometimes it's not at all what we'd expect. Last weekend, Victor and I went to the movies. It was a treat. We saw the movie Same Kind of Different as Me. Has anyone seen the movie or read the book? All right, I see hands going up. We read the book years ago, and the movie is based on the book. It tells the true story of an unlikely friendship between a millionaire art dealer and a homeless ex-felon. And the woman who brought the two of them together because of her faith. And so in the movie and in the book, it talks about these two men. And what it looks at is how their lives came together. And they met at Fort Worth's Union Gospel Mission when the art dealer's wife insisted that he join her in volunteering there. In the movie, much of it was filmed in Jackson and Canton, and even the homeless shelter that was used is in downtown Jackson. It's United Methodist building there. But the art dealer is a little less than enthusiastic to volunteer. I want you to check out a clip from the movie.
Dan, my God, you guys showed up. We need every helping hand we can get.
You got help right here.
Help, they don't. Debbie, honey, we can't help. Sweetie, I got a sales call at the office at 6:30. I got to drop off contracts north of town.
No, you don't.
My wife wore the pants too, honey.
Excuse me, sir. Debbie?
Please, come in here.
This is so nice what you're doing here, all right? But I gotta go to the office, and I'm gonna sell that Calder Eagle tonight. And you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna write a check for the place. What's this?
Soap, use soap.
You may need this.
No, I don't need that. I wanna know why these people who don't have jobs aren't helping out around here.
They do.
Sweetie, I'll write the check. You can make out the amount.
There's a brush right there.
All right, Jimmy. I don't like germs. I'm gonna do this one time. Is there any infectious diseases floating around this place I should know about?
Absolutely. We try to infect them all with love.
And so the story goes on. I definitely suggest you read the book. You know, the book's always better than the movie. Read the book. It's called Same Kind of Different as Me. But what I want you to notice is this. He reluctantly went to serve. And the truth is, the only reason he was there is he had made some terrible mistakes in his marriage. He had sinned in an awful way. And he promised his wife that he would do anything to make it up to her. And she said, all right, we're going to go serve at this homeless shelter together. It's the only reason he was there. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been. He was a millionaire art dealer. He had business and networking and success and money down. And what did he say? He said, I'll write the check. You fill in the amount. He was ready to give money, which is the first thing that we think is needed. But you know what he wasn't ready to give? Himself. He wasn't ready to give his time. He didn't want to be a living sacrifice. He wasn't going to give to the point where it was uncomfortable. He wasn't going to push himself outside of his comfort zone. Now, he was in a position to easily give of his money. That wasn't a problem. But what he was guarding and what he wanted to keep at a distance was relationship with people. You see, his life was full. His bank account was full, but emotionally, he was empty. And he walked into the shelter that day, not knowing that God was just beginning to write the greatest part of his story. And it had nothing to do with his success at work or the amount of money he had. It had to do with building better relationships with people. It's like the song that we sang before, Love, Don't Let Me Stay the Same. You know, most of us wake up every day not really thinking, am I prepared to give my whole self to God today? We try to compartmentalize and we say, okay, I'm going to have my devotion time or my study time, or I'm going to make time to go to church on Sunday or on Wednesday. But living day in and day out, do you sacrifice yourself daily to God? Because it's an act of worship, and it's not just on Sundays. Worship is a total commitment, and anything less is just not genuine. Real worship is not merely the offering of prayers or large donations or moving songs or an inspiring sermon. Worship doesn't just occur in this place. It occurs in our day-to-day world. And this means that worship has to move away from this 1 hour on Sunday into all the hours of our lives. And it moves away from just being an activity where we come here to worship to where we begin to see that we are living a life of worship every day. In each relationship, in each task, no matter how mundane, each opportunity, each problem, each success, each failure is an opportunity to be a living sacrifice. And we have to decide, are we going to conform to what the world tells us is success? Or are we going to surrender ourselves to God's definition of success and offer ourselves? You see, true worship is linking our everyday lives to God. Real worship sees the whole world as the temple of the living God, and every common deed is an offering. We may say, I'm going to church to worship God, and please do. I want you here on Sunday mornings. We want you here every week. But I also want you to be able to say, I'm going to work, I'm going to school, I'm going to the deer camp, I'm going to the garden, I'm going to the homeless shelter to worship God today. You know, every Sunday when we come to worship, we bring a whole lot of stuff with us. We bring questions that need answers and problems that need solutions, and we bring burdens that need to be lifted and anxieties that need to be soothed and frustrations and preoccupations and all kinds of distractions. And we bring that in the door with us when we come into this place. But you see, the beauty of the gospel is this: we aren't meant to carry it out with us when we leave. Real worship happens when we come before God. We confess our sin, we turn from that sin, and we offer ourselves completely and wholeheartedly as a living sacrifice. Here I am. I am yours, God. You mold me. You take me. You lead my life, and it might not be in the direction that I would expect. And we do that again and again and again, and that's worship. And so this morning, I want you to think about your own life. What if I told you that I had secret video footage? And I'm going to show it on the screens this morning of you last Sunday when you walked out of this building. I'm going to show you at work. I'm going to show you at school. I'm going to show you at home. I'm going to show you what happened when someone cut you off in traffic. I'm going to show what happened when someone needed something from you. What if I pushed play and we sat here together and we watched the last disagreement that you had with a friend or family member? Would we watch and would we see you offering yourself as a living sacrifice to God? Because it's in those moments when nobody is watching that God sees. Now, don't worry, we don't have any secret footage, that's just creepy. We don't have that. But I want to remind us this morning that God sees it all. We can't hide from Him. And when He looks at your life, not just the hour on Sunday, not just the times you set aside for church or religion or faith, but when He looks at the whole of your life, does He look at you and say, man, she or he is putting their whole self in? They are mine. They are a sacrifice. Let's pray together. God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for scripture. We thank you that you call us not to conform, but to be transformed. And God, we just are grateful. We're grateful for your word. We're grateful for your teaching. We're grateful for just the truth that you love us and that you don't leave us where we are. We're grateful that we're not going to stay the same. And God, just please, just help our beliefs impact our behavior. We don't want that to be segmented. We don't want to compartmentalize our life. We don't want to live in silos. We want you to be over everything. And we want us to live a life that if anyone said something bad about us, that nobody would believe it because they know that we follow you and we know that they would know that that's not true. And God, we just thank you. We thank you that you have bigger plans for us than even we can imagine. And we thank you that you love us, that you're not going to leave us where we are. You're not going to let us define our own successes. We pray these things, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As you go into this next week, I want you to remember these candles on this table. It's a reminder of those who have gone before us, but it's also a reminder that we have not an unlimited amount of time here on this earth. What are you going to do with that time? I challenge you this week to do more. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, give more of your time, give more of your resources, give more of your service, give more love, and let that overflow out of you. Because the Bible tells us that we are to be living sacrifices. If not now, then when? Go this week and live knowing that God loves you and that you are to sacrifice for him. Have a great week. I'll see you Sunday.